Imagine living in a time where everything around you is changing, and not exactly for the better. Oh, wait. We don't have to imagine, do we? However, that's where the people of Judah found themselves back in the days of Jeremiah. This is around the late 7th and early 6th centuries before Christ. They were under looming threat from powerful neighbors and dealing with a lot of internal mess, corruption, and the people had lost sight of what was important. And then here comes Jeremiah, and his message is basically, shape up and return to your roots or face some pretty dire consequences. Jeremiah's message accused people of breaking their covenant with God. He called out the people for idolatry, their selfishness, and their abandonment of God's ways. Similarly, he condemned the corrupt government leaders and religious establishment that enabled them to abandon justice. They failed at society's fundamental moral obligations of taking care of the poor, especially the widows, orphans, and immigrants. Jeremiah's job wasn't easy, especially since he wasn't exactly winning popularity contests with what he was saying. He was the bearer of bad news during a roller coaster ride of kings. From Hosea, who tried to steer the ship back on course, to Zedekiah, under whose watch everything finally went south with the fall of Jerusalem. Jeremiah warned that a society suffering so many corrosive effects would either crumble from within or fall to a foreign power. Therefore, it came as no surprise when the Babylonian Empire smashed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and carried most of the population into exile. But then, in the middle of all this doom and gloom, Jeremiah offers a glimmer of hope. It's here that we find a message about a fresh start and a promise of better days. Jeremiah talks about a new covenant. Unlike the old covenant that required blind obedience to a set of rules, this new covenant is based on the quality of one's relationship with God. See, along the way, religion got twisted into an overly simplistic formula. Obey the rules, or God will punish you. But faith that is reduced to a robotic adherence to rules loses joy. It diminishes a desire for God. At the time, and frankly even now, this idea was pretty radical. But Jeremiah envisioned a future where connecting with God wasn't about jumping through religious hoops. It was about a direct line to God, accessible to everyone, no matter their social status, no matter who they were or who they'd been. And this new covenant included a beautiful promise of a clean slate, an offer of forgiveness that speaks volumes to people weighted down by their mistakes. Jeremiah 31:31-34 is a cornerstone for understanding how our relationship with God evolves. We start with learning the rules, but if we allow God to reach what He wants to reach, our hearts, then the relationship has to grow. The relationship God wants with us is deeper and more personal, and it is based on a heart change that God Himself begins. Real commitment to God and what He wants comes from an inner transformation, not outward adherence to laws. In fact, requiring adherence to the law is a very good way to drive people away from God, not to God. So listen as I read, or read along with me, in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now God had made a covenant with the Israelites when He gave the law. But even though God upheld His end of the covenant, the Israelites had not. In fact, the matter is, they had not because they could not. Now, God, through Jeremiah, is talking about starting fresh with a new kind of promise. This covenant won't be about following rules etched on stone. Instead, God is planning to make it personal by writing His ways directly into people's minds and on their hearts. Imagine having such a deep connection with God that knowing and following Him comes as naturally as breathing. That is the relationship He wants with us. Then God gets even more specific, and He says, I will be their God and they will be my people. Y'all, He's painting a picture of a family where everyone belongs and is known personally by God. No one is left out unless they choose to be. This is huge, because it means no more barriers or feeling like you need anything other than a desire to know God. Then we get to the greatness of this promise. When God says everyone will know Him directly, from the least to the greatest, no more having to rely solely on what a priest or a prophet tells you, because God is going to make Himself known to everyone on a first name basis. And to top it all off, God promises a clean slate, forgiving mistakes and starting anew, focusing on a relationship built on grace and second chances. This whole new deal God is proposing is about turning everything on its head. It's not just a set of rules, but a whole new way to experience life with God. It's about having such a close relationship with Him that His ways become part of who you are, and knowing Him becomes as natural as knowing your best friend. This promise is about hearts being changed, relationships being healed, and a community being completely transformed by love and the knowledge of God. At the heart of this new covenant is a deep and meaningful change within us. This isn't about tweaking how we act on the outside. It's a major overhaul of what we want, how we think, and what we value. In the past, following God's rules might have been about avoiding punishment or getting some kind of reward. But now, with the new covenant, our whole inner world shifts. We start to follow God's ways because it's what we genuinely want. And we want it thanks to a nudge from the Holy Spirit. And this nudge from the Spirit isn't just a little poke. It's a powerful force that helps us start thinking and acting in ways that reflect God's love and kindness. This inner makeover is key because it tackles the real issue. Our tendency to push back against what God wants. With our hearts changed, we're not just reluctantly doing what's right. We're excited and we're sincere about it. It's like we're living out our best quotes about Jesus, from Jesus rather. We're loving God and caring for others are the things that life is all about. Another big piece of this new covenant puzzle is forgiveness. Before, the rules pointed out what we were doing wrong, but they couldn't fix the deeper problem. It was like putting a Band-Aid on a cut that needed stitches. But the new covenant brings us a permanent fix for our mess-ups through Jesus' ultimate sacrifice. This isn't just about wiping our slate clean. It's about fixing our broken relationship with God. This whole forgiveness thing changes how we see God and each other. It lets us be close to God, not because we've got everything figured out and we're doing everything perfectly, but instead, we can be close to God because God's own grace covers our mistakes and our sins. And it encourages us to be just as forgiving with others, making us forgive in our relationships because of the forgiveness God shows us. Living this new covenant life is a whole different ball game. It's built on trust, trusting that God's got us even when things look grim. It's not about checking off boxes. It's about being part of an ongoing personal relationship with God. This journey of faith is about getting to know God better, leaning on His strength, and supporting each other along the way. Being close with God is central to this new way of life. And this closeness grows through prayer, through studying the Bible, and through worshiping with fellow believers. It is in these moments that we really get to know God and understand what He wants for us. And it's in these moments that we can truly feel His presence. The real proof that we're living in the new covenant is how it shows in our lives. This change is visible in our love for God and people, in our fight for what's right, and in our dedication to sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. It's about living not just for ourselves, but for something bigger. God and His plans. The new covenant touches everything. It's an inside-out transformation that reshapes our hearts, our relationships, and yes, even the world around us. As we walk this new covenant path, let's dive into it for the full life it offers, always aiming to grow closer to God and spread His kindness everywhere we go. Christianity is not, nor has it ever been, about how well we follow the rules. It's about a spiritual connection with God that brings out our best self. Reflecting on the promises of the new covenant is like opening a door to something truly remarkable. a heart made new and a direct heartfelt connection with God. This isn't about swapping old rules for new ones or tweaking the fine print in our agreement with God. It's about a total reboot of how we relate to God, inviting us into a close personal partnership where God's wishes become our own. Not because we're told to from the outside, but because we've changed from the inside. Rule-based religion turns into gatekeeping. We're on the lookout for the misdeeds of others. It becomes a means to self-righteousness, which is as terrible of a sin as the worst sin you can name. One of the great tragedies of our faith is when it is used to make people feel small and judged and unwelcome. If your faith or your expression of your faith drives anyone away from the table or makes anyone believe that they are unworthy of God, then it is not a faith that honors God. I've had people tell me that they think they'll get into heaven because their sins aren't as bad as other people's. Loved ones, when we are standing before Jesus and He is reviewing our lives, He's not going to be considering someone else's sins. The new covenant that Jeremiah wrote about was one where there was equality and forgiveness for all. During the Last Supper, Jesus held up the cup and said, "This is the blood of my new covenant for the forgiveness of sins." Our entrance into heaven is a matter of grace rather than adherence to rules. Our access to transformed and meaningful lives in this world is an acceptance of grace. It moves us to live up to it by our actions and our words. The heart of this good news? Radical transformation and endless hope. The new covenant doesn't box us in with our mistakes or our sins, and it doesn't limit us with our flaws. It's about offering forgiveness and a fresh start, handing us a blank slate. This amazing grace cuts the ties of guilt and embarrassment, letting us live in the lightness and happiness of being forgiven. It's a powerful reminder that regardless of what we've done, we are cherished and welcomed by God. We're drawn into a relationship based on love and kindness, not on ticking off a checklist. Responding to this new covenant means stepping out in faith and letting the Holy Spirit do a deep inside-out makeover in us. And this makeover isn't a one-time deal. It's an ongoing journey towards thinking, feeling, and acting more like Jesus. As we walk this path, our lives get richer, our connections get deeper, and we want to show everyone the kind of love and kindness that comes from God. The invitation to get closer to God might be the most stunning part of the new covenant. Our Creator wants to get close with us. This ideal alone calls us into a lively, thriving relationship with God, filled with conversations through prayer and His Word. This closeness is our powerhouse, keeping us going through tough times and inspiring us to lead meaningful, impactful lives. It's an open invitation to every one of us, no matter our backstory or what we're dealing with at the moment. Yes, it does seem like everything around us is changing for the worst. But unlike the people Jeremiah was addressing, we aren't waiting for the new covenant. It's available to us right now. God's word is in our minds and written on our hearts, and it's up to us whether we live up to our part of the covenant and accept that, from the least to the greatest, God's grace is available to everyone. The new covenant is a clear signal of God's endless love and dedication to us. It's about personal and collective transformation, pulling us into a deeper bond with God and each other. As we live out this covenant, let's do it with thankful hearts and lives that shout faith, hope, and love. Let's lean into the life-changing power of the new covenant, letting God reshape our hearts, letting God turn us inside out and bring us closer to Him every step of the way. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on the greatness of your new covenant, my heart is filled with gratitude. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have been brought into an everlasting relationship with you. Help us, Father, to live in the fullness of this covenant, embracing the freedom and grace that you have so generously poured out upon us. Guide us, Lord, to be bearers of your light and love to all that we encounter. May our lives reflect the beauty and depth of the relationship you've called us into. And may we always remember the sacrifice that made it all possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.